RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Last Wednesday in Christchurch, and you may remember our chat with Sal Grover a couple of weeks ago, she said she was coming to New Zealand. In fact, she was already in New Zealand at the time for a speaking tour. Sal Grover, Tickle versus Giggle. If you want to know more about that, go and search it out. But it's a case that has ramifications for the status of women, actual women in Australia, constitutional status. And we wanted to find out how that went. So back on RCR is Katrina Biggs, a women's rights advocate who's been engaged with the Christchurch City Council for 3 years over their policies, which prioritise the rights of men who say they're women over the rights of women and girls. She also blogs about what's happening around gender ideology, mostly here in New Zealand. Her blog is on Substack called A Bold Woman, B-O-L-D. So Katrina is back with us. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Paul.
Nice to see you again, hear you again.
Oh, great to be here.
Okay, and also we're welcoming onto the program Helen Houghton. You might have heard that name before. Ex-teacher who challenged the Ministry of Education over the creep of gender ideology in the schools and petitioned the government to remove it. That petition gained 40,000 signatures at the time, had one of the highest number of signatures for an online petition. She is a staunch advocate for children, freedom of speech and parental rights. Also leader of the New Conservatives. She was involved in this event in Christchurch. Hi, Helen. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be here.
Sal got around the country a bit. It wasn't only Sal. So who wants to start by telling us how that was set up, who was there, and we can take it from there.
I think that's your cue, Helen. Okay. Well, look, just going back a little bit without, you know, rehashing everything that people know me on, several people in different fields have been or have started speaking out their concerns around this culture war, ranging from gender ideology in schools, puberty blockers, women and girls safe spaces, as well as around sports. And so my initial purpose about a year ago was to hold a panel with a variety of professional bodies who have authority and knowledge in these areas. We wanted to have discussions, Paul, discussions about to outline our concerns and raise awareness of the consequences of adopting these synthetic identities that are being pushed.
Synthetic identities.
You know, the culture war around sex, around language, is negatively impacting our young people. It's infiltrated every aspect of society where companies are now sending staff off for re-education. And so I contacted Charlotte Paul. I don't know if you'd know Charlotte Paul. She may have been on your program or somewhere around Reality Check Radio talking about puberty blockers. So she's an expert down in, she was in Otago University, and she's got a background on safety of medicines and ethics of research. So look, for her younger colleagues down in Otago have urged her to speak out because they're all concerned about what they're seeing with all the increase in children being prescribed hormones. And so they're seeing a lot of that. And I reached out to Charlotte. We had a good conversation. She wasn't able to be on this panel, but I also spoke with Jill Ovens, who's the leader of the Women's Rights Party. And I've been speaking a lot in the community with a parent of a child who is now, well, a daughter who is now identifying as a male and recently had a double mastectomy.
What age are we talking here? Just curious.
Her daughter is now about 23, but okay. They started out being pushed down this pathway when they were 16, 17 at Lincoln University.
About 5 or 6 years ago, nearly.
Gee. Yeah. Okay. And now double mastectomy, just like that.
Oh, man. Brutal.
Yeah, it is brutal. So she was on the panel with us. We had, obviously, Jill Ovens. At the time I spoke with Jill, I was really fortunate that Jill was having a tour of their party, and so she had invited Sal to New Zealand, so it was perfect timing. I'm also a third year law student, so it was really important. I've been following the case with Sal, and I wanted to bring some other law students along to, you know, have this conversation to see where we can go in the future around these issues. So that's basically where we started. There was the four of us, the parent of a trans-identifying girl, Sal, Jill Ovens, and myself.
Wow. Okay. So What about the venue? Where was it held, and was there any grief over the venue?
Do you want to do that? Do you want to? Yeah, okay.
Sure. Look, the venue was the Hornby Club, and the club is what we used to call is the old working men's club, what we used to call that. And they're great, you know, just booked it up. It wasn't me. It was the Women's Rights Party coordinator who did this initially. But as I mentioned earlier, before we started recording, she did get sick. And so I had a little bit of a hand in it afterwards. But upon my recommendation, she booked the Hornby Club, and there was no problem. She said what it was for, no problem. That was just straight in. And we found a similar thing when the sex self-ID talk got cancelled by the Christchurch Central Library about 3 years ago. And that time we booked the Woolston Club. Same thing, no problem. And initially the Woolston Club, the manager there said he got complaints and threats of protest. And so he almost cancelled it, but decided to do a bit of research himself online and found out that those who were complaining about the woman who were going to come, who were going to give the sex self-ID talk about the upcoming bill, those who were complaining were far worse than those who had booked the venue. So he decided to go ahead with it. And he was very staunch on the night. He maintained a watchful presence all throughout and wouldn't let any. And we did allow some protesters in on the proviso that they behaved, and they did. And but he stayed there the whole night, and he didn't brook any bad behaviour. And there was a little bit at the very end from somebody, and he ejected that person.
So the very entity that you pay your rates to is the one that denies access is
correct.
Is what we're saying here.
Yeah.
So who do they think they are, do you think?
Who do the council think they are?
Yeah, who do they think they are?
Well, they certainly think they're activists.
Yeah, looking into that, Paul, because it's, you know, it's an interesting conversation in itself, isn't it? I did speak to some of the staff at the Hornby Workingmen's Club, and when I talked to them about the fact that there would be potential protesters, it didn't faze them in the least, because their words to me were, you booked the room, you're signing for it to pay for it, and you know that's what we sign for. We have a contract, and it's none of their business what we talk about. And that's exactly what it should be. Yeah, that's right. Well, why should it be their business what we talk about?
It's good to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be the same for the council. We book a room, we pay for it, we make sure that the place is safe. You invite certain people along. And it should have nothing to do with the council what the conversation is. And yet now the council have got a lot of details in their booking policies where you're being asked about, you know, controversial as your topic controversial in nature. Well, who gets to decide what is controversial, and you know who makes a decision on?
I have an image of that person who makes that decision, and it's not a very nice one. And they've probably got the worst fashion sense you've ever seen. Just saying.
Well, I tell you, Paul. I mean, you know, it was back. You know, it was really ironic. You know, that 3 years ago when we finally went to the Woolston Club and booked, and it was really ironic. We thinking, you know, as Helen said, it's like the what we used to call an ex-working men's club, and we thought to myself, you know, these are the people. This is where we felt welcome and safe, yeah. And someone stood up for us. You know, the manager stood up for us, and you know, like I think that. This goes for a lot of people, but in the last few years, my world has just been turned around, you know, and it's due to this gender ideology, the sort of people who you are up against, the sort of people who stand with you. And it's been, as I said, a real turnaround. I'm now have so much respect for people that I never really thought I'd associate with before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and now it's just, you know, now basically being kind of forced to associate with them. Forced is kind of the wrong word, but you know, you do, and you start seeing their humanity, you know,
which has always been there, of course.
Yes, but you start segregating yourself.
Yeah, I think you see, though, why they have such a strong stance in certain areas, because there's reasons for all of the things that we stand up for. And in my opinion, it's like, okay, we all have our perspective, but it's important that we're able to discuss it. And even if you disagree with me, we should still be able to respect each other. If we don't agree with, you know, and so that's half the problem, Paul, with these meetings is being shut out of certain places, and even the media are feeding it. It's like, you know, you are this monster if you want to have a conversation about women's rights or about children being led down a path of mutilating their bodies. And you know, I don't understand it, because this is about supporting, protecting, and making sure that all of our young people have everything at their fingertips to help them. And yet we can't have these conversations without being shouted down that you are, you know, you're some kind of bigot or whatever. And yet we're the ones, like Katrina just said, she might have aligned herself with some people that she wouldn't in the past, but they are doing the best that they can about protecting some people in the community. Yeah, it's there's a bit of a crazy conversation out there, isn't there,
well,
really?
The thing is, what to do, what do you think we do about it? Because, okay, people have differing views on all sorts of things, and most of them can be accommodated, no problem. But here we're dealing with a slightly unhinged situation, I would say. First of all, it involves the mutilation of children. Can't get by that. It's, I've said it before, some kind of weird sacrificial thing, and that feels sinister to me. Also, there seems to be an element of violence in any reaction, and there's the emotional blackmail of, if you make us feel bad, we'll top ourselves. Now, none of that is in a normal range, even giving a wide scope of normal range of behavior in any sort of normal range. So it kind of sounds like we're dealing with people who have very big problems that they really need to go and get some sort of help for. And maybe it's time to go hard out, actually, and we're just not tolerating this anymore. And if you want to have a fight, let's have a fight.
Bring it on, Paul.
Bring it on. Because we know who's going to win. Okay.
You know, I had to get involved in politics to actually come against this nonsense. And like you said, this is about children mutilating, sterilizing themselves. They're never going to, you know, this parent who was on the show with us, her daughter has had a double mastectomy. And this is what's happening. These women will never know what it's like to be a woman because they've been misled down this path. And you know, they won't have the opportunity to have a baby. All of these things are coming out later on when they get a little bit older and realise the mistake that they've made. But I agree with you. Through this political journey of mine, some people have said about, oh, you need to be kinder and all of that. And it's like rubbish. Kindness and caring about people means tough love. It means having the hot, tough conversations and actually speaking the truth. And the truth isn't fluffy. It's not all, let's all just wrap up these people and agree with them and make them feel good. That's, you know, the feelings is, it's not the reality. They need some support, and we need to make sure that they have supports in place instead of being, you know, not being able to have a voice or, like what Katrina's talking about before. I mean, we can't even go out as women now. Like the things that Katrina and I have been involved in over the last 5 years, there are people out there who are claiming certain things about us, and not just us, but other women, you know, from the Posey Parker, you know, I was on the what do you call it, the stage there, and women are not safe anymore. Biological women cannot stand up for ourselves without needing to actually bring in some security. You might have heard before Katrina mentioned we had two ex-police. I mean, why did I need to reach out to a couple of males to come and make sure that we were able to do this event? Because we know, you know, this is, we've gone backwards to where women cannot go and meet up and actually in safety. Now, there's a book written out there about terrorism or extremists, and I'm in there. And it's like, you know, you stand up for children and you're portrayed like this you know, some extremist. I mean, who decides that who's an extremist? Because you are talking about something that is different than somebody else. We've got some serious issues with media who are pushing this. And like you said, why don't we just say no to all of it? We need to band together. So I'm really grateful for Reality Check Radio. Katrina and I, we have, you know, worked together in a few areas, and so is Jill Ovens now. So there are a few groups that are coming together in this space, and we need to do a lot more of that. Would you agree, Katrina?
Yeah. You know, there's no one group that owns the concern about children. Mm. You know, it's throughout all groups. And we have to collaborate on that. We may disagree in some areas, but we'll fight about that afterwards. And at this point in time, as anyone who has concerns about children can come together. As I said, no one owns that. No one particular group owns that concern. We all do. Yeah. And the same with women's and girls' spaces. We all own that space. We all need that space, not just the right woman or the right girls or anything like that. We all need, all women in every group needs that space.
It's funny you say right. Sorry, right. What do you mean by right? Do you mean the right?
Correct. The correct sort of woman. Not the right-leaning sort of woman. The correct woman.
Paul, because talking about this stuff is all of a sudden we're right. We're right wing. I mean, there's actually, this is what we called.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to what you're talking about, kindness, Helen, and, you know, that the woman, the mother who was on that panel at the Sol Grover event, and she said how the psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever she took her daughter to see, you know, that person, that professional, they actually came out with the, would you prefer a dead daughter or a live son?
Here we go. They're playing that card all the time.
It's emotional blackmail. How is that kind?
And the daughter went through with it, right? The daughter went through with it? Okay.
Yes, she did.
That person should be in jail, probably for a minimum of 10 years in my book. That's how serious I am about it.
Yes, and the mother was shut out of the, I think, most of the...
There's another 5 years on the sentence there.
Meetings with the psychiatrist. That's correct, isn't it, Helen? That's right, Paul.
You know, give another 5 years for that, because this is, for me, I'm really staunch on parents' rights. You know, I don't know if you're a parent, but...
Yes, I am. I've got three daughters.
We don't have our children for the school system or the government or somebody else to come along and say, actually, you know, you can't tell your child that, talk to your children about gender if they feel like this. We know that we didn't have children for somebody else to come and take our rights off us. So this is a really important space, and I'm glad to hear that you would like to do more about it. So hopefully after this conversation, we can get together.
When I was a father of kids that age, we didn't have this. It wasn't around. They're all grown up now. But I tell you what, if this had been tried on any of my kids, it would not have been pretty. The father's wrath would have been felt at full noise, and it wouldn't have stopped. And I think men need to step up.
Yeah, we want to hear more men talking like that, to be honest, Paul, you know, and mothers. You know, they need to get a bit of fighting talk going on about
it. Yeah.
Well, you know, only 5 years ago, most New Zealanders were not even aware that gender was even a thing. Mm. Okay, so how have we shifted from normal, accepted, biological science to adopt this? It is like a cult that's being pushed through.
Well, it crept in. I want to get just a few comments about how, you know, the reaction from the people attending the meeting there to watch it went. But here's the other thing. You've got we get back to councils and the state, let's call it the state. We're fighting the state as well on this because, you know, why should you pay your rates if they're doing this? That is a contract broken, moral contract broken. But if you don't pay your rates, they'll take your house. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. I think people need to think about the power that's being pushed on people here. And no one ever voted for that. The founding fathers didn't set up local government model in New Zealand for that.
I'd just like to make a bit of a comment on the council. Like I saw a video clip, you know how they tape, so they video the council meetings. And I saw a clip of when they were discussing the equity and inclusion policy, really, you know, wanting to pass it into policy. And the lawyer, their lawyer there, I saw her give them questionable advice and at one stage actually wrong advice about it. And this is, I think, sometimes what happens is that they can deliberately obfuscate and sometimes mislead, maybe not intentionally, but the counsellors will rely on that legal advice. And I saw that on that video clip.
You are allowed to question legal advice. I don't see when that was a problem. You can question it, can't you?
They don't know. They have to, I think. I mean, to be fair, a couple of the counsellors did question the absence of the word sex in that policy, but they were overridden. And I think they just believed the lawyer when she came out with what she said about it, because they had no knowledge to the contrary.
This is a very low bar of acumen.
Yeah. Well, it was, for a lot of them, it's not considered that important. The mayor, Phil Major, actually was surprised that there was even a discussion about it. He thought it was more or less going to be a five-minute job, you know. His item number 12,
Does he have daughters?
Blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure, but you know, I think this is low on the list of concerns for him. From what I understand, from what I've experienced,
I can feel blood pressure going up here. So, how did the meeting go? Was there good engagement from the audience? Were there any people there causing a problem?
No one caused a problem at all. The club wouldn't have tolerated that, and also I doubt very much if protesters want to stand outside on a cold Christchurch night in winter and yell at us from outside.
I think if anyone had have tuned up, they would have soon realised, because the club did say that they wouldn't get in, because there's a very, you have to sign in, and it's quite a large venue too, so there's a lot of different places. It'd be quite difficult to get through without being noticed, that they are people that may not have been, should have been there. Mm. From my perspective, the audience were really engaged, and it could have gone for another couple of hours, Paul. The conversations at Q&A time were just, so much engagement from back 5 years ago when I did the first petition on the gender ideology to now, 5 years later. There's so many groups talking about it. And I did manage to speak to a couple of the audience at the end where, these were mothers and their husbands were lawyers. And so there's a lot more professional people who are, actually concerned and getting into the space. But they had said that they weren't aware, and still there's probably lots of other people who are still unaware. So to be able to have the conversation is really important, and I know that your platform has enabled that for us to get out there. When I first put the petition out 5 years ago, we had over 40,000 people sign it, so that's a lot of people concerned. But what they did, the media at the time, they shut out the conversation. They just pushed the one view from, they got some comments from Inside Out, from that group, and then anything else was shut out. They won't allow us to have the conversations.
And from my perspective, comparing that audience, so it was great that Sal Grover gave us the platform to have this this other get together and this other talk. But comparing the audience 3 years ago that came to the Fork on Sex Self ID, and how mostly they seemed a bit confused, and it was like, what the hell's going on here? How did this even happen? How did we get here? And the audience last Wednesday night was very much a different tenor. There was anger there, and there was this readiness to do something. And that's why we think now people are getting ready to sort of shift gear a bit about this and and start doing something else. And it will take a lot, I think, more in-person get-togethers and discussions, and that's really how things grow, is from the in-person get-togethers and discussions, and I think that will evolve.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's because there's nearly all of us know at least one parent who's got a child now who thinks that they're identifying as something else, do you think? Because that's what I'm hearing. You know, nearly all of us will know somebody in this.
That's huge numbers. That's huge numbers.
Yeah.
It's like a mind virus.
Yeah. Well, I think that every councillor who goes along with us, or every politician, it seems like you scratch the surface and they've got one, or they've got one in the family, or their friend has, close friend, you know. That's where they're coming from this personal knowledge, instead of like a broad perspective about the whole of society, what it does for the whole of society.
I think it's a failure. It's a failure of men is what it is in the end, I think, because there are some lines that if you cross in male culture, it becomes violent. So you don't go there. You try everything to avoid it. I mean, some people don't. But being too weak allows bad things to happen.
Yeah.
I'll take the rap for males. Where were we?
You're going to take one for the team, Paul.
I'll take one for the team. What happened to us? Why do we become so weak? I mean, not to be aggressive and strong all the time, but where it matters, you know? The buck stops with us on that defence, I think.
I'm going to jump in with a little bit of perspective there, Paul. And, you know, I've said publicly I'm not a feminist. However, I do stand up and advocate for women. But this fourth wave feminism has actually shut men down, pushed them down. And, you know, this male toxicity push that has been occurring, I'm not surprised that males don't feel like they can speak up or do anything. So I'm afraid that women do have a bit to answer for, even though I'm in that space of protecting women. We still need to go back and get a bit more balance around that and respect each other's sex.
And I'll have put my two cents worth in as well, and just sort of say that from the perspective of men, they have been more inclined to leave things to women when it comes to the kids. So there, I think there's two things going on there. What Helen said.
But the protector role that stops you having your body mutilated, that stops at the man, I think.
If you've got your wife or the mother of your children pushing back against you, I think a lot of men will cave to that. Unfortunately.
No, I know they will, but they shouldn't.
That's a big conversation around family and the attack on family. So, you know, if you want to talk about that sometime, Paul, let's open it up because there's...
Totally up for that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's a conversation we need to have. In the end, if you don't let the air out of the tyre at a rate that we can handle it, it's going to explode at some point.
It's happening now, Paul. It's happening right now. I mean, you know, there might just be two women sitting here, but there's a lot of us women out there now, and men as well are standing in this space. And, you know, the reason, I think there was something on one of the silly media programs the other day, and they said, why do haters hate? And they were referring to the drag queens. And I'm like, you know, you've pushed people. You've pushed them so far that we can't have the conversations. You know, it happened with the COVID, of course, and it happened in other areas. And so you push society so far where they are, where there's, you know, they're just pushed out, basically, not given a voice, and they're going to push back. And we're in that space now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything more to say?
I think that, as Helen said, there's probably more to say, but that's probably another conversation.
Yeah, I think we should have a major discussion on the male thing and the female thing. I think we need to get that really out in the open.
Oh, yes, don't please. We do. I'll be in on that. And just one last thing to finish off around government and MPs, whether it's a lack of courage, a lack of common sense, or a lack of commitment to their role, they're a disappointment. I've recently had a petition where I'm calling for this affirmation of minors to be criminalised. Like you said, Paul, we need to go hard. And it's rejected. The children's minister will not pick it up. She has declined. Who's going to stand up for our children?
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.